Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 1st of November, recording at 9:44 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights in here today. Stock markets in Asia opened firm but lost those gains for the most part. The exceptions were mainly Japan, which had a small gain, as did the Hang Seng. And the S&P ASX 200, that's the Australian index, had a very good day, hitting a new all-time high up 1.10%. The European stock markets got clobbered. They opened soft, but were clobbered by the news coming out of the U.S., really downgrades, bearish forecasts, forecasts of dividend cuts for Citigroup, and downgrades, I think, for other European banks, which were weak, UBS, Credit Suisse. And I think Exxon came in with disappointing earnings figures. So that led to a pretty hefty sell-off here, with the Dow down 2.6%, down, that's 362 points. The S&P 500 down nearly 41 points, same percentage, and the NASDAQ composite down only slightly less at 64.29 points. Okay, government bonds, very mixed action overall. Government bonds have been weak in Australia, for instance, for the last couple of days. I'm talking about bond prices. The European ones, though, rebounded quite sharply on the sell-off that occurred today. That's not surprising. It's a knee-jerk reaction taking their cue from stock markets. And precious metals were mostly lower. The silver was really roiled in here. Had, it looks like almost a 60-cent swing on the day, although it closed well off the lows, but it moved up to new highs and came thumping down. And platinum and palladium were up a little bit. Gold down $9 there. That puts bullion back at 787.20 as I speak. The US dollar was a little bit firmer in here today. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, you know, we've had this uncoupling recently where China-led and India-led Asia have moved higher. And although the Western markets had seen some pretty good rallies in most instances, we had very few breaks up to new highs for the year. I think little Finland did it, and Spain managed to do it, but not much else among the developed European stock markets. And the NASDAQ was the best play here in terms of U.S. performance in moving to new highs, which we saw yesterday. Now, it's all about the banks again and the U.S. Financial problems. That's the center of the problem. The center of the troubles, rather. So this is, I mean, if I'm going to post some of these bank shares a little later on, but Citigroup plunged down. Those U.S. bank indices, which had seen sort of a dead cat tentative rally kind of bounce, were very weak. That dragged down the European banks, which were already weak with the UBS and Credit Suisse news. So Western financials right at the center of this problem, and it the sell-off that we saw here today, I think, will almost inevitably cause a little bit of contagion here tomorrow in the Asian markets, which have had a pretty good run recently. So arguably they're a bit overextended in the short term. How big a sell-off that is will be interesting to see. It would help, but I would expect them all to open down tomorrow, and then we see what happens thereafter. They probably open down quite sharply. If China, mainland China, has a firm day, that would certainly certainly help the Asian regions. But the Fed, here in its statement yesterday, following the rate cut, when the Fed, and that triggered a pretty good rally in the market, as you know, but then more depressing news came out regarding Exxon and the banks. But we know what the Fed was trying to do. It didn't want the market anticipating its next move and then forcing the Fed action. In other words, it didn't want investor sentiment dictating Fed policy. And to a certain extent, that was true with the rate cut that we had yesterday. But really, I had been saying, and many, many commentators had been saying, the U.S. did need a rate cut. I felt I'm going to use that analogy. You want to raise interest rates like an escalator and cut interest rates like an elevator. I would have preferred a 50 basis point rally to have a 50 basis point cut, rather, to have occurred yesterday, because the banking problem continues. And we've known that it was going to continue, because there's all this uncertainty over just how bad the figures are going to be going forward. And when some of these banks have said, oh, well, it's not really too bad, and then they come out a week, two, or three later, and then report huge write-downs and losses, clearly it shows that either they're being they're letting us have the bad news incrementally, or they really haven't a clue what's going on. And either one of those situations is disconcerting, to put it mildly. So this is an interesting situation, which is keeping the U.S. and European markets and Japan in ranges, and we'll see a little bit more of that. And I think where the really strong areas are, and you know what they are, of course, those are the Asian-led emerging markets, also resources. I think there we'll see a little bit more reaction and consolidation. Well, a little bit more, we haven't seen much, but we see some reaction and consolidation towards the 200-day moving averages. There's nothing to worry about in terms of that overall. But the US situation does remain a big concern. I mean, sadly, as I've said before, and I've said it for quite some time, sadly, the US is the focal point of risk in the world today. It's not the emerging markets, that's for sure. Okay, what else taking place in here? Precious metals at times past have really weakened through catching contagion selling when Wall Street sold off. Now, if Wall Street went into a consecutive day's drop, big numbers, then inevitably, excuse me, then inevitably we would see a so-called flight, well, a flight to quality, I was going to say. Yes, we'd get some of that, but we would get deleveraging. And if we've seen this before. Now, if you get deleveraging, then anything that was in a clear downtrend gets a bit of a bounce, like the US dollar, and anything that was in an uptrend gets a bit of a setback. But the fact that we have been over this ground before, we've seen a number of shakeouts, probably means that many markets are less immune to that type of contagion. They can't entirely resist it, but it's unlikely to have the same impact on the downside. So I would be very surprised if it weighed heavily on precious metals, for instance, although it obviously further weakness by Wall Street of any consequence tomorrow would obviously constitute a headwind for anything that is in an uptrend, precious metals, high performing, high growth Asian stock markets as well. Best bet, we've got another squall underway here, and obviously everyone will continue to watch this rather delicate situation in the USA. Now, industrial metals were a little bit easier in here today as well. The exception was the nickel market, which continues to look as if it's in recovery mode, but we didn't have any big sell-offs in the metals market. About the biggest one was, looks like, copper, which was down 11 cents. That's hardly a big move on something that closed at 336. And oil prices did come back a bit in here today, down 111, closing at 93.42. But this still looks very much as if it's, ranging overall upward trend. We haven't had any dynamics on the downside. We've had some big swings, some $2-3 moves in a day, but we haven't seen any of those. When they've been on the downside for the crude oil price, there's been no follow-through the next day, so that uptrend still remains pretty firm overall. And of course, a lot of it just reflects weakness in the price of the weakness of the US dollar, I should say. In other words, oil is going up a whole lot more in dollar terms than it is in other currencies. That's been the case for a number of months. If you want to see some of those currency effects, look at the terrific charts that will be in the issue of the week that I'm using to head up my comment of the day here today. And I think that's pretty much it. So expect some choppy action here tomorrow, and with some weakness in the opening. I just want to see where the VIX closed. I hadn't looked at that. Well, that snapped back up. It closed out at 23.21. That's not a huge move overall, but generally speaking, above 20 people are a little nervous. Below 20, they start to relax once again, and so we're back above 20, not surprisingly. And we had, I mentioned, I think, very strong closes in the European bonds. Okay, more tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best.